Perek Beis Pasuk Dal Vidatem Ki Shilachti Alechem Es Hamitzvah Zos. You will know that I have sent you this mitzvah. Liyos Brisi Es Levi. My bris, my covenant shvu with Levi. Omar Hashem Tzivokos. Brisi Hoyse Ito Achaim VaShalom. The name Loi Moira VaYiraini. I've given him Moira, which we learned yes, according to the mitzvah stuff, which means that I've given him. I have given him all the blessings of Chaim and Shalom, because of the Moira of his Yira Shamayim. VaYiraini. Umibnei Shmi Nicha Asu. We learned yesterday. Okay. We learned yesterday there were three different types of fear. Three different types that are presented in this pasuk. There is the Moira. Then there is Umibnei Shmi Moira, I've given him Moira, fine. Vayira Eini, that's the second word. Abibnei Shemi Nichasu. Three different expressions, but whatever it means. Tairas Emes Haisa Befiu, the Torah of Emes is Befiu, Avala Nimsa Bisvasav, there was nothing, no Avla, no wrongdoing on his lips. Bishlam of Mishor Halachiti, he went with me in peace and Mishor. What does it mean, Mishor? Mishor means Yashor. The word Mishor means to go straight. Not krum, v'rabim many heshiv me avon, many people he has restored from sin. Okay, so let's take a look over here at one more pasuk. There was one pasuk zayin ki sivsei choyin yishlu das, the lips of the kohen guard das v'soyda yivakshu mipiu, and toyda they seek mipiu ki malach Hashem tzevokasu. The koyin is in the gedder of a malach Hashem tzavakos. Okay, let's take a look over here. We did it yesterday, the mitzvah of stavid. Let's take now a look at Rashi. We did not yet do the Rashis. Rashi, going back to Pasuk Dalit on page 876. Liyos b'yisti es halevi. Hashem says, I want to give my covenant with the levi. Shani chofet sheteskaimu iti bebrisha karati l'shevet levi. It is my desire, sheteskaimu iti, that they shall remain with me through the covenant that I have forged with Sheva Levi. Pasuk hei ha-chayim ve-ha-shalom, shenema lepinchas es brisi shalom. V'huftach loy ulezaroy acharav, harei sheyehe zaroy b'chayim. Now, interesting, the Rashi is quoting over here is I've given him chayim and shalom, and he's quoting over here Pinchas. But Pinchas is not the entire Sheva Levi. So I guess we have to assume that whatever it says regarding Pinchas is true. Dava shoy bechlal v'yotza v'nachlal l'lamed l'y l'lamed l'atzma yotza ella l'lamed al kol ha'kol kul yotza. Okay, so he gave the bris of peace, which goes to his entire family. I gave it to him. I hear Rashi, though it's different than the mitzvah of David. I gave all of this to him. Sheyikablim b'moira. V'chein osava yiro'eni. Then nichas l'shoyn nitas nis yorei to be afraid. Let's go dwell on this for one moment. Rashi here learns Shan the pasuk where it says over here brisi noisa ito hachayim v'hashalom ve'et neim loy. I gave him what? I gave him the bris. Okay, so according to Rashi, ve'et neim lo, it would appear is not going back on life and peace. Life and peace that's the blessing, but there's the bris. Brisi hoisa ito, my covenant was with him. Hachayim v'hashalom. Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the Rashi. Shenema l'pinchas says l'pinchas is brisi shalom. V'huftach, and it was promised loy ulezaroy acharav harei shehe zaro b'chayim. Therefore, his zaroy will be alive. Since it says loy ulezaroy acharav, so life means a continuation of his seed. It's here referring to his legacy. Hashem promised shalom to Pinchas, who is a representative of all of the Kohanim, and this shalom carries on throughout all generations. Loy ulezaroy acharav, and that's what it means. Chaim, Chaim is just a synopsis of loy to him ulezaroy acharav. What did Hashem give to him ulezaroy acharav? Es berisi shalom. The bris of shalom is going to go throughout all generations. So according to the Rashi, the way Rashi appears to explain, chayim is in shalom. Chayim does not mean the blessing of life. It doesn't mean, okay, everything is fine and good and health and all that we ordinarily associate with the word chayim. The word chayim over here is a description, and the word shalom as well is a description of the bris. And we're focusing very specifically on Pinchas. To Pinchas, I gave him berisi of shalom, and this bris of shalom will go lo ulizaroi acharaf. So Pasuk K is just describing what it says regarding Pinchas in different words. Berisi, connect the word berisi in the beginning of the Pasuk with the word shalom in the middle of the Pasuk. And then when it says the word hachayim before the word hashalom, it means that this beritz of shalom will go loy ulezaroy acharaf. That's a very big twist in the pasuk. We thought the Mitzudas David was twisting the pasuk. Rashi is twisting the pasuk even more. He's taking the words like a puzzle and telling us the bris here is the bris of peace. The words are very hard to translate. The words here are very difficult to translate. Therefore, Rashi over here
can't find out why they're assigning it to Aaron, the priest of Shalom.
It's very difficult to translate these words. And that's what he's doing. He's over here, he's twisting the words. It's going to be the bris is going to be the bris of Shalom, and it will go lo ulizaroi achav, that's chayim. But here the Pasuk says that it does not say regarding Pinchas. And that is when Hashem made with Pinchas this bris of Shalom. Loy ulizaroi achav, there was a Tanai. What was the Tanai? The Tanai was sheyekablem bimoira, that he should accept it with fear, meaning he should be a Yorei Shamayim. There was a condition. The word vednim loy bimoira, this whole bris that was made with Pinchas, there was a condition that we have no mention of at all in Chumash, sheyekablem bimoira v'chein osa. And he fulfilled his condition. Vayiro eni umibneishmi, because of my name nichasu, he was afraid. Nisyore, the word chatas nichas means to be afraid, and that's how Rashi translates it. And you look here on the side, the sif says zekanim. He explains it in more detail. Nichas perish Rashi l'shon chitas nisyore ad kan l'shonai reitzolema sheshorshoi chatas. The root of the word. This word is really two suffs. Chatas. V'hu mibinyin nifal migizras hakefulim v'ho avor lezochar b'nifal hu nichas b'cheshren ois hakefel. When you take this word in its pure sense and you use it in the past, then the rules of grammar dictate that the first suff should turn into a ches. That's commotion with simul in the keva. V'nichaso keshes nichusha. Okay, I don't know what that word means in that case over there. V'kal lahavin. For him, it's kal lahavin. Not for me, kal lahavin. But he's giving us here some grammar, and he's telling us that the word over here is chitas. Chitas means to be afraid. And here, the real word is tusafs, or tutafs. And now that we transform this word into the past tense, the rules of grammar demand that we change the first tuf to the nun, and the ches becomes a nun, and the sof becomes a ches nichas. All right, fine. Pasuk vav. B'shalom uv'mishor halach iti aharon ve'elozor u'pinchas. So notice over here is that Rashi over here is telling us something very fascinating. He's telling us that the kohanim over here, there are three pillars of kohanim. Aharon, okay, that's the chief, and then there is his son, Elazar. He represents an entire, I guess he was the skan. I mean, Elazar was the son. Elazar the Isamar. What happened to Isamar? How come he disappeared from the scene? I don't know. And then Pinchas. Each one of these three appears to have contributed uniquely to the institution of Kahuna. Aaron has his contribution. Elazar has his contribution. And Pinchas has his contribution. That's what Rashi over here.
There was one Kohen Gadol from Isamar, I think, right? There was one.
All the Kohanim, we don't think it came from Pinchas. I think there's a chal that say every single one. Could be one. It was an exception.
One for me, so I think so.
Also, you want to go say that's why, because you want to go say from who did the Kohen Gadol come from? Aaron was the first Kohen Gadol. And then we know it's the fact that I remember
later
reading
on it didn't matter. The second bias, it was
even the second bias, I think it says the old descendants.
Yeah.
So Pinchas was all the Kohanim Gedolim. I remember reading all came from Pinchas.
For some reason,
maybe it could be there was one from Eloz. So it's an interesting Rashi. Why is Rashi doing that over here? Coming over with Fels over here is that there are three Kohanim that Rashi is coming to single out. Maybe you want to go back and say some drush when we go in the beginning of the pasuk. When we start over here, it starts with Yishlachti Alechem Etz Hamitzvah Zois, Lias Brisias Alevi, Pasuk Hey, Bris Yichaisa Ito, Hachayim VeHashalom, VeEtneim Loi Moira VaYira Eini. Want to say some drush? So we can say that this pasuk has many parts. First, it says Bris Yichaisa Ito. Who would that be? Who did Hashem make a bris with? That was with Pinchas. And then it says, Hachayim v'hashom. Hachayim v'hashom. That was Pinchas. Mm-hmm. Now when it says, V'etneim loy moira v'yiro'eini, I want to suggest that's referring to Elazar. Why? How do I know that? How do I know that's Elazar? I don't know. And then when it's Mibnei Shemi Nichasu, that's Pinchas. Why? Because he was concerned with the Chilul Hashem of Cosby and Zimri. When he saw Hashem's name was being mischalel with the mice of Cosby and Zimri, he got up, he took the law into his own hands, he's a vigilante, and he killed him. He killed him. So I want to suggest that Rashi over here is saying something which needs explanation. It says b'shalom of Misha Halachiti Aaron Elazar u'Pinchas, and why does Rashi throwing out specifically these three individuals? Well, in the previous pasuk there are three parts. There's Bris Yichaisa Ito Hachayim v'Hashalom, and Rashi very skillfully explains that part of the pasuk refers specifically to Pinchas. Pinchas was the one to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Bris Yishalom. Loi ulezaroi achrav, the bris of shalom, which is hachayim, lo ulezara achrav. And then when it says ve'etnim loi mayrav ayira eni, I put in him fear and he feared me. Who was this? Somehow we have to relate that to Elazar, which needs further investigation. Umibnei shimi nichasu, I think that's a fair assessment. The chilul Hashem of what Cosby and Zimri did awakened Pinchas to seek out the honor of Hashem's name by taking the law into his own hands. So there are three parts of the pasuk. There are three different expressions, and maybe al derech drush we can match up the three people to the three parts of the pasuk. Okay, further, v'chein b'masa egel heshivu kol shifta me'ovoin. Likewise, in the ma'aseh egel, heshivu the entire shevet. Now Rashi is going a step further. It's not just these three individuals, it was the entire Shevet. Mi la Hashem Eli, Vaye Oswe Love, Kol Shevet Levi, V'chim Masva Ekel, Heshiv Kol Shifta Me'ovan, Shnemar, Vaye Oswe Love, Kol B'nei Levi. Okay, now we go to the next page. Kisiv Sechoyin, Pasig Zayin, the lips of the Koyin, Aleha Muta Lishmar Das. It is upon the Koyhanim, it is their duty to guard knowledge. Why is it the duty of the Kohen to guard knowledge? Lama, Sharei Toiro Yivakshu Mipiu, Shekvar Dover Zem Mosulchem Yoru Mishpatech Yaakov. That's their job. They are the ones that are meant to be the decisors. Is that the right word? A decisor? Yeah. The people who decide, who make decisions and instruct the people. Therefore, you must prepare yourself. If you're not going to prepare yourself, how are you going to be able to answer the questions, the people's questions? So therefore, over here, the Rashi is learning from the pasuk, not the way the common man translates his pasuk. This is a very common pasuk, and most people will translate the pasuk kisiv sechon yishmudas means that's what they did. It's like a praise. They're good people, and they guarded Hashem's knowledge. Now that cannot be the pshat, because the yishmeru is b'loshon osid. It's in the future tense. So it cannot possibly be that they in the past they guarded. It has to mean it is a command. The lips of the Kohen should guard knowledge. It is their duty to study the Torah, to go and learn in Kollel, to know halacha, to know why, because the people will come to them naturally to ask them questions what to do. Because v'soira yivakshu mi pihu. Okay, this is simple grammar. Simple grammar, yishmu is in the future tense. Yet for some reason, I don't know, I can't speak for anyone else, but I've been brainwashed that when it says here the word yishmu das, in my mind, I always translated this in the past tense, that the lips of the Kohen, they guard. No, that's not correct. That would be shomru. Then the correct word should be shomeru das. They've guarded knowledge. It doesn't say shomeru. It says yishmeru. They will guard knowledge. So Rashi explains, what does it mean they will guard? It is a command. Hashem here is commanding them that the Kohanim should make sure to see to it that they give themselves and their children a Jewish education, an advanced Jewish education, to know what to do, because it's inevitable that the Klal Yisrael will come to them and ask them questions, because v'soira yivakshu mipiyu. That is what is inevitable. And then the pasuk concludes, ki malach Hashem tzivoka is who? Shilucha shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu ki malachi hashareis. They are the agents. Now here it's Veloshon Yachid, Shilucho, who is it? It doesn't say Shiluchov, Shiluchov. There would be a Yud. Here they vowelize the word Shilucho, without Yud. I mean, the rest of the Rashi also indicates that it's Veloshon Yachid. So here referring to a specific person, I guess it's the collective noun. Each one of the Kohanim is meant to be the agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kimalachi Hasharis, L'sharis lefonav, to minister before him, V'likones lefnim b'mechitzasoy, and to go into Hashem's mechitzah. This is something which is very bizarre. No, it has to be. It's, obviously, we're going to have the Mamari Chazal that elaborate upon this idea very much. What does it mean to be a malach? The many perushim, many the ideas relating to this, but just the simple translation of the words according to Rashi is a little bit unsettling. Rashi over here is saying that what is a Kohen? A Kohen is the agent of Hashem, like the Malachi Asharis, who ministers before Hashem and enters lifnim b'mechitzaso. So how does it help us? This, the Torah is and Nach is not about what goes on in Shemayim. That's clearly not what the Torah is all about. The Torah is a guide how to live in this world. What goes on in the next world, we'll eventually find out. No one lives forever. That's not what it said. The Torah is all about what is going on here in this world. When Torah doesn't talk about Olam Haba, doesn't give any inkling of the daily activities. What do they do in Shemayim? They have swimming from 11 to 12, and there's lunch from 1 to 2. What in the world goes on? Well, 1 to 3. What do they serve for lunch in Shemayim? What goes on there? What are they doing there? There are trillions of people there. I don't know. Who knows? From the time the world was created until now, what happens there? No one knows. No one ever came back to tell us. At least bring back a schedule. You know, people, they go to a hotel, they come back. I know someone went to the hotel. So he comes back and he shows me the Seder Hayoim, the program, all of the speakers, the food, the tea room, the buffet room. There's more rooms to eat than there are shiurim, and they have quite a bit of shiurim. Well, you know, the big celebrities in Klal Yisrael, the who's who of Klal Yisrael, you got to go see what these programs look like. It's unbelievable. It's remarkable. Klal Yisrael is very creative. But no one ever brought back a program of what's going on in Shemayim and Gan Eden. You never saw such a thing. That's not the purpose of the Torah. And yet here we have an exception. We have here an extremely unusual pasuk with a very unusual Perush Rashi to tell us that a Kohen is a Malach Hashem Tzivakos, is just like a malach kemalachi hasharis. Rashi over here does not say the word a malach. Rashi is coming to reject the notion that malach means a messenger. He does say, he says shalucha shalakadosh baruch. He does say a messenger, but then he says no, not a messenger with a messenger bag who goes in a car on a train and does. We're talking about the angels, those creatures that have wings and in shemayim, and they go in places that are beyond this world. So what does that do for us? What does that do for us if they're in Shemayim and they're ministering before HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a world that we have no connection to in this world? I do not know. Sheluchoy shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu kemalachi hasharis l'sharis l'fanav, to minister before him v'likones, and to enter l'fnim b'mechitza, so to enter into his mechitza. Maybe you want to say, what Rashi means to say is that the l'fnim b'mechitza so means in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Maybe Rashi, that's not really what it, it's not a mashma like that. That's not really what it says. But you want to go say that if we are forced to suggest that we have to limit every pasuk to this world, and it says lefnim b'mechitza, so the only place in this world where you can apply that concept, that's that term, is the kodesh hakodoshim, and then the kohen gadol is indeed working for us, because by going into the kodesh hakodoshim, he is bringing atonement for Klal Yisrael. He is bringing atonement for them. So then,
Targum Yonatan says, "Alei meshamesh kodam Hashem tzavotu." So their job is meshamesh lifnei Hashem.
But where? We're in this world or the next world?
It doesn't matter. No, in this world.
So there are examples. So they're dugmois for us to learn from, to be inspired from. But we have no connection to them. They're just source of inspiration where we have no connection to, because the average person doesn't have any connection to a malach. What do you mean with malachim? Malachim, this is not my business, malachim. So you want to go so over here that a kohen is a malach Hashem tzvakas, and Rashi goes so far to say, what does he do? He ministers before Hashem, and he enters lefnim b'mechitza so. Rashi's pushing them even further away from our, we have no connection to these people. That's very far-fetched, because that's not what it's all about. So you want to say then, the best thing you can say is lefnim b'michitzasay means in the Kodesh HaKodashim, which is in this world, right down here, and that's on Yom HaKippurim, and we're rooting for him, because when he goes in the Kodesh HaKodashim, in the Hashem's mechitzah in this world, that directly brings atonement for us, for all of our sins. I don't know, we have to see more. Let's now take a look over here at the next Rashi, the next page. The next, that's it, we're done. I'm sorry. Now let's go backwards. Now let's go back to the Radak. Radak back, Pasuk Dalet. Back on page 877. V.10. You shall know. Liyois brisiyes levi. Lefi chachani mitzaveschem kol kach lefi she'ertse she'tiye brisi im shevet levi she'kiyamti. Hashem wants. I'm commanding you all of these commandments. I'm telling you, let's assume that the Radak is going back to the previous perek. I'm telling you all of these things that you should have respect for my name, to give kavod l'shmi. I'm telling you that you shall bring, when you bring the korbanos shall be offered in a dignified way. Don't bring me defective merchandise. Have the respect, and have a, your frame of mind should be that the Beis HaMikdash is spectacular, and it's beautiful and it's precious. Because, why am I telling you all this? Because I want to preserve the covenant that I've made with Sheva Levi. I want it to be in existence. Now, what does that mean exactly? I mean, you don't have a choice. When a person makes a covenant, it basically means you have no choice. You're locked in. You're locked in whether you like it or not. Obviously, that's not necessarily true. If a person breaks his part of the deal, the bris is over. Okay, that's we make that mistake. We think that Hashem v'choreis imoy habris laseis es eretz hakanani. So we are unfortunately under the impression, oh Hashem, it's too bad for you. Once you've made with us a covenant, you have no way out. No matter what we do, no matter how bad we are, you still must honor the covenant. That's not true. That's not true. You read between the lines in the Mefarshim, even a covenant, a bris, which is a very powerful, binding agreement, and there can be a lot of violation. There can be a lot of violation.
Actually, I made a second bris, and it's sub,
another, yeah.
Second bris was made.
that was not.
No, he didn't say it's not the second. He said it's a continuation of the first.
Okay, but even a bris, but this is an idea which has to be explored. I remember once reading up on this.
Yeah. In other words, even though you may think that
Rachamim,
that God
is
saying, no, I never forgot.
Ayei Where is the? I never divorced you. But we have to appreciate. We're used to hearing this Chazal that in the days of Hoshea ben Ela, the last of the kings of the Aseres Hashvatim. Tamu Zichus Ovis. Hoshea ben Il, the last of the 21 kings of the Malchei Yisrael, when Sancheiriv exiled the last members of Klal Yisrael, Chazal say at that time, Tamu Zichus Ovis. That's it. The merit of the patriarchs, over. No more Zichus Ovis. So Tosis, when he cites this Gemara, he says, yeah. Einachinami, Tamu Zuchus Avos, but there's something called Bris Avos. There's something called Zuchus Avos, and there's something called Bris Avos. And the Bris, that has not been annulled. That can never be annulled because a Bris can suffer more abuse. If one of the partners of the Bris, Zuchar Bris Avram, the Bris can never be annulled. But even that, so we, if you just learn the Tosfos at face value, yeah, Zutamu Zuchus Avos. But Bris Avos, that goes on forever. Not so fast. Even a Bris has rules. And if the violation is so severe, then the other partner is not obligated to keep his part of the deal. Even that is subject to a set of rules. So here, Hashem is saying, I made with Shevet Levi a bris, as Rashi told us. Rashi says this refers specifically to Pinchas. Es brisi shalom, and when it says chayim, it's referring to loy ulez zarei acharav. But if you read deeply into the redactor, I'm suggesting is even that bris that I made with Aaron and Pinchas and Elazar, that they are the kohanim, and they're going to have the kahuna forever, you know, watch out. If you go over the red line, there is also a red line in this bris. And if you go over that red line, that's it, it's over, you're done. I'm not going to honor my part of the deal. And you're getting there. You're getting there. You're coming to pass over the red line. You're actually getting to that point. And therefore, I don't want you to get to that point. And I'm begging you, stay within the red line. Don't go that far.
In other words, when we daven and say the first bracha Shmon Esrei, there's a difference between zuchus and chesed. So zuchus means you can withdraw from the bank account, you can say to God, you owe me. But
chesed
is tam. So what I'm saying, gomel chasodim tovim, please remember
pure kindness.
Yeah, just do it.
Just do chesed.
So
charity
that's
case.
That's what we're
in. We're a charity case. Besides right. The schus that they're sitting, there are three things.
I can't tell you that you owe me, but
there are three dinim. Bris
kavar.
Three dinim. There is zuchus, there is bris, and there's chesed. Okay, zuchus means it's your savings account. You're withdrawing from your savings account. And then there is chesed, charity. Oh, sorry. And then there is bris. Which FDIC. Okay? The government's got to come in and bail you out no matter what. FDIC. And then there is chesed, which means no one owes you nothing, but out of pure kindness. But you know what the best thing is? The best thing is before, number four, is what you earn it. You earn it on your own right.
That's why Rabbi Alfred,
you earn it, not schus. Better than schus.
You see that? That's chesed.
That's chesed. Right. That's chesed. No, is the chesed and manas chinam?
We shouldn't ask based on our mitzvahs and everything that.
No, you're not supposed. You're supposed to earn it. The best thing is to earn your keep. You deserve right. It in your own right.
No, but our relationship with Hashem is that Hashem that should all be given to Olam Haba.
Right.
But in this world, we should just be. We just go for chesed. And you would think that. I would think that also. But you see, it's not that way. In this world, we ask only for chesed.
You don't want to deplete your savings account for the next world.
That's why what the Lulei Nisan says the pshat of Vayachshevei Lo Tzedakah. You know, he says, he said to God, you know, God gave it to him. So he says, oh, listen, if you're doing me a favor, I'll take it. But if you're deducting from my bank account, I don't want it.
Right.
Vayachshevei Lo Tzedakah. I'm going to consider it a gift.
Gift, or don't take away from my merits. As Avram said in the beginning, that I've been depleted. When Avram, when he came to the Brisbane of Sarm, and Hashem says, how could it possibly be we're going to have a child, Yitzchak? I have no merit. All of my merits have been depleted by surviving the world war with the four kings, right, the five kings, saving Lot. When Avraham went to rescue Lot, Hashem miraculously spared his life.
Right.
And even by the or cast him. When Nimrod threw him into the fire, he miraculously survived. So Avram says, surviving or cast him, surviving what happened to me in the Melchama of the four kings and the five kings have depleted all of my merits. I have nothing left. I have nothing left to live on. What, now you're going to do a miracle for me and give me a child? This is impossible. Okay, but this is the deal over here. We have here a bris. Even though there's a brisa, the way the Radak over here is learning over here is, I'm telling you, Hashem is basically begging. He's begging Shevi Levi, don't cross the red line. And this is a principle which is very important, and I don't remember where I saw all this, is don't make a mistake and think a bris is a guarantee. Just because we know that there is something called the difference, a famous, everyone knows the Zuchus Avos is Tamu, but the bris Avos still remains in force, don't abuse that principle.
The brit is a two-way street.
Exactly.
That's it. It's one way street. But the brit is you behave.
Exactly. Don't make that mistake and take it for granted. It's not for granted. Next, pasuk hey. Absolutely. Brisi haisa. Yeah. It's a two-way street. Absolutely. Brisi haisa ito. My bris was with him. Imroi shashevel kuhun v'hu aroin kidoi shashem. And then he mentions Upinchas Asharkine Lilukov Pinchas. Aaron and Pinchas, I think maybe what he's coming to conscious, they have two different, very different methods. Aaron was very quiet. Aaron gave in. When they came to him, they said, you know, we want to make the Egel. Okay, we'll make the Egel. Chagla Shemachar. He didn't want to fight with anyone. Aaron, Oyev Shalom, Viroidev Shalom. He made peace. Pinchas, he gets up and he murders. He murders the Nasi in Klal Yisrael. He murders the princess of Midian. No problem. Cold-blooded murderer. The complete opposite. Aaron and Pinchas, they stand in contrast to one another. We don't normally look at it. Normally we talk about Pinchas. Oh, you say Pinchas is a kanoi. But v'nasati loy brisi shalom. I'm going to give Pinchas. He's not such a bad guy. When you learn Parashas Pinchas and you talk about Parashas, you talk about this whole concept, you usually look at Pinchas in isolation. What's very unique over here in these psukim over here is we're not looking at Pinchas in isolation. We're looking at Pinchas in contrast to Aaron.
What do you think Aaron would have done in this situation?
Well, what, he did nothing. He was
he
there.
Wasn't alive.
He was, what, he wasn't alive?
Pinchas,
yeah.
Wasn't alive.
No.
He had nine already. In Chukas, Pinchas is two centuries later.
Really?
Yeah.
In Mukhtim Luchavatar, he already died?
Listen, I'm just...
All right, okay. All right, I don't know.
If
it's true, it's true. I'm not... You're right. Okay, fine.
Seems to be that he wasn't around.
So let's say he's not around, just for a conversation.
Yes. What would he have done?
Comment that Aaron wouldn't act this way, Pinchas act this way. So now I'm asking a question. How would Aaron act?
Maybe he would have done nothing like Moshe. What did Moshe do? So nothing. Okay. What did everyone else do? 600,000 people, what did they do? Nothing.
That Aaron was, I mean, Moshe was stymied because he was married to a shiksa in a way. So, no, I mean, that's what the Mepharshim said.
Isha kushis ashalaka.
That's exactly what the Mepharshim say. I'm not making up my own thing. They say he just was embarrassed to do anything.
Look, you have very great people throughout history. And they're good at certain things. There are certain situations, there are certain crises that come up, and they know how to deal with it. But a different crisis, they fail. You have many heads of state that are phenomenal in international, in foreign policy, and domestic policy. They're disaster. And some in domestic issues are fantastic, and foreign policy, zero. Some people, some parents, they're wonderful in politics and their family, no one wants to talk to them.
That's why, like you pointed out yesterday, you have an Aaron and a Moshe.
Right, they balance. So here as well, we're learning over here as well, that in the kahuna itself, you have Aaron and Moshe in leadership. Each one had their role in leadership. But within the fraternity of kahuna, there's also a balance of talent and power.
So that's why I say when it says Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron, we always ask the question why it gives you the lineage, his ancestry.
All three together.
You have, by Korah, by Ikar, Korah ben Yitzhak, ben Kos ben Levi, why does it stop there? Because Levi was a hothead and it shows you where he got. So why does it talk about Pinchas, who was a Kanoi, go back to Aaron, who was an Oev Shalom and a Rodev Shalom? Because there's two ways sometimes. Peace is one way, and sometimes the way to get peace is by picking up a stick and smacking somebody over the head. That brings peace.
It's a different approach, an entirely different approach. You answer the question, that's exactly the question. Why did Rashi say all three? Rashi said, Aaron ve'elazar u'pinchas. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon ha-Kohen. Obviously, each three had a different midah. And each one of these three, their midahs, together produce the institution of kahuna. Aaron, Mark, what you're saying is true. If Aaron would have been there, it would appear Aaron would not know what to do. Had he witnessed the maisa of Zimri and Cosby, he would do nothing. He wouldn't know what to do. He wouldn't. That's not his nature in this type of crisis. Pinchas knew what to do. If someone came to him, to Pinchas, with a shalom bayis problem, we don't get along. The husband says, she doesn't know how to cook. She just doesn't know. So he would say, he would kill her. Cook her. You put her in the pot and you eat her. Right? That's what he would say. Obviously, he's not the guy for Shalom Bayis. He's not the Shalom Bayis guy. And Aaron is not the guy to deal with the mice of Cosby and Zimri. But all three of them are necessary to achieve the result of shalom.
Yeah, tells us by the Mice Egel, Aaron was 100% wrong, obviously.
Not necessarily, Cheryl, not 100%.
We can't, it's not 100%.
Story, last word in the story. It's a very complicated story. You can't say...
Yeah, but it still blames him for it, and that's why another of an Abihu had it.
But Hashem selected him to be the Kohen Gadol. To light the menorah, shalacha gedolim
mishalohem. Yeah.
Life is complicated.
He still did something that he should have. He was afraid that if they would kill him, the Rabbi Shua. So he says in a sefer that he puts it in Aaron's lap, he blames it on Moshe. Is all of. Now, Aaron would have been in this position had he not said Shlach no biyak to Shlach. He goes all the way back to that point. So this is why, this is what the ramifications of everything that Moshe did from way back. He pieces together a whole story.
Then
Aaron would have been in charge.
Okay, so each one contributes a unique quality to the institution. That's really what it's saying. Brisi Haisaito Gemara in the Pasuk K. Brisi in the Radak, page 877. Brisi Haisaito Im Resha Shevet Lekunda V'hu Aaron Lekudosh Hashem. O Pinchas Asher Kine Leilo Yikov. Pinchas the Zealot. O Pinchas Nemar Hinani Noisin Leis Brisi Shalom. V'Nemar Loi Oid V'Haisa Loi Ule Zare Achrav Bris Kunas Olam. Period. V'Chayim Nosam Loki Motzano Loi Chayim Yoseh Mishloish Meoshana. He lived more than so now we have a third interpretation of what it means chayim. Not like what Rashi said, chayim is just a synopsis of the word loy ulezadoy acharav. He learns chayim here to mean, he means he lived for 300 years. Arichas yamim, how do we know that? We find him later on in Tanakh. Afil mish amar ki Pinchas eina Eliyahu, because Pinchas, we say Pinchas ze Eliyahu. Eliyahu lived, he lived in the time of the Malachim. He lived way past of it. Kibi Pinchas, and even the man Yama that says Einu Eliyahu, Sharei Motzanu Esoshoy Bidvar Pilegesh Begiva. He lived in the era of Pelegesh Begiva.
Oh,
so that's let's see. That's a big,
yeah,
big shaila. Let's see.
Commercial
cost. So the Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. I made told us before Vayit. It's before Dog, but it was still it was still. He was an old man. I made Lefana by Yom. It says Beferish. Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aaron. I couldn't remember by Yom Mochem. V'hayilo mishin noisav adazman hu yoiser mishloish shmeyosh. The time of now. This what he's saying is very controversial, because once upon a time. We learned Shaiftim. Shaiftim is something great to learn together. Maybe we'll do that one day, halavai. But in Shaiftim, there's a big machlekes. When did the Maisa Pilekesh Megiva happen?
Right.
And I think most of the Mefarshim there say it happened right away. Even though it appears at the end of Sefer Shaiftim, isn't towards Mamash, the very end of Sefer Shaiftim. So a lot of the Mefarshim on the page, they say, in Muktam Mu'uchar, this event happened way back in the very, very beginning. Happened much, much before. Okay, not everyone agrees to that. That's subject to a lot of discussion. It's not at all clear when the Maisa Pilegesh Begiva happened. If the Maisa Pilegesh Begiva happened right when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, that doesn't make Pinchas 300 years old. That makes Pinchas, how old could Pinchas have been then? He was probably middle age, 30, 40 years old. When that happened, I don't know exactly, but doesn't make him 300 years. That's for sure. You're going to tell me that it happened at the very end of the era of the Shoiftim. So David started to build the Beis Hamidrash, the foundation that was 480 years from Yitzias Mitzrayim, 480 years. So if you can tell me that the era of the Shoiftim went pretty much very close to that. I don't know exactly, it went to 400 years since Yitzias Mitzrayim. So that would make Pinchas for sure over 300 years old. Right. But if the Maisa Pelegesh Begiva took place in the beginning of the era of the Shoiftim, or even in the middle of the era of the Shoiftim, that's not going to make Pinchas to be so that old. So this is something which the Radak just says it as a matter of fact, that Monafshach, if Pinchas lived in the time of Achav, which was, that's like way out, that means Pinchas is even 500 years old. So fine, if you can go say that in Plegesh Begiva, Plegesh Begiva. So he's at least 300 years old. Wait a minute, that's making the assumption that Plegesh Begiva took place at the end of the era of the Shoiftim.
That means Elio was Pinchas.
Right. So that's what they said over here. Pinchas is Elio. But I feel that Pinchas is not Eliyahu. But at least the Pasuk explicitly says that he was alive in the time of Plegesh Begiva. On Pelegesh Begiva, the Radak says, everyone knows, go ask a child. That took place at the end of the era of the Shoiftim, right before the rise of Shaul and David. So that has to be already 400 years since Yitzias Mitzrayim, since they came into Eretz Yisrael. Wow, 400 years since they came into Eretz, from the time they came into Eretz Yisrael, 400 years, and Pinchas is alive, Eferish and the Pasuk? But who says that's correct? Who says that's the way it was? Okay, let's go further. Now we go to, it says in the Pasuk, we have Edim Loi Moira. He learned, I gave him Moira. Hachayim v'hashalem nasati loi bavor Moira sheyiroeni. Who's the one who said this? The Mitzudais. It was the Mitzudais who said exactly this. Well, the other way around, the Mitzudais lifted his translation, his interpretation from this. He learns the complex manipulation of the Pasuk. The Etnim Lo goes back on the blessing of Hachayim v'hashalem. And why? Because he was a Yorei Shemayim, Balvor of the Moirosha Yiroeni, Ubibne Shemi Nichashu Sharshoi, the root word of Chitas, the root word is Ches Sof Sof, two Tavs. Exactly what Rashi said. Rashi elaborated upon this, Upeirushoi Nishbar. The word Chitas means to break, to be broken. You're broken in fear. When fear affects you to the degree where you're broken, v'nitke, you're crushed with nei shem Hashem. Isn't it very interesting? You have now this. Never thought about this. Is you have another type of fear that's a little bit different. Vayecherad Yitzchak charada gedoyla ad meoid. And what does the Targum there say? Nianua, to shake. There's a type of fear that causes a person to physically shake,
to tremble.
So it means your mind is shaking. You're shaking. And then there's a fear that says, "Well, you're broken, it breaks you." That doesn't mean you're shaking. You're broken. You're a broken person. So you got to go talk to a good psychologist to explain to you how the mind works and how the body reacts to different forms of fear. There's a fear where you shake, and there's a fear of where you're broken. There's a fear of where you're just in shock. I think we're more familiar with that type of fear. When you're afraid, you're just like in a daze. You're not broken. You can't necessarily say you're broken. Your body's not shaking. You're just in shock. Like, what? You're bewildered. So there, fear is something which is extremely complex.
Not even the Japanese. That's what they were trying to do to the prison.
To break them. So there are different forms of fear, and it's very interesting. Chazal in the Tanakh, when you study Tanakh, you see different words used in different contexts, and when you want to then take these types of fear, since Hashem says Mo Hashem Elokecha Shomekim Liyir Oiso, has to be a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to take each one of these type of fears, and apply it, direct it towards Hashem in a healthy way. In a healthy way. And how do you get there, and how exactly do these things? But here it says, here you have this thing called nichas, which he very, very precisely translates as being nishbor, to be broken, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. How do you transform, how do you modify this concept of being broken in fear, which in our minds is something which is not healthy, which is detrimental to your well-being? How can you modify it and use it as a tool to come closer to Hashem in the framework of Yirat Shamayim? I do not know, but he did it. Aaron did it.
Yirat Shamayim is a thing. We hear different stories. The one that just came to my mind is Levin, Zatzal. He was
Ari Levin.
He was out during a bombing, in 48. He wanted to take care of some prisoners or some people in the hospital. They tried to stop him. He wasn't afraid, because someone like that, they reach a point of having Yiras Hashem, so it doesn't affect them in a trembling way. They know what they have to do, and they do it.
Oh, that's why.
That's
Yitzchok,
how
it
goes.
When you say Yitzchok was, that fearful, that he really was broken man. That's the end of Yitzchak's story in the Chumash, because what was he so afraid? Because God played him for a fool, and he thought, he's an oiler to me. He was such a holy person that now he realized that God let him make such an awful mistake with Esau, that he put all his eggs in the basket of Esau, and he realized he was fooled. Then what does God really think of me? I messed up so bad, and God let it happen to me. It's freaking me out. And he literally just lost it. And you don't hear Yitzchak's name after that.
You see, you're touching upon something very, very, people, in all, many Gedol, they portray Gedol, and they never make a mistake. Right? Can't be that a Gadol Hador makes a mistake. Isn't that something that they try. So they have Ruach HaKodesh. So listen, Yitzchak Avinu, you just said, was fooled. Okay, he was fooled. He was fooled. In the big picture of things, I mean, how are you going to finesse it? You're going to. Chavetz Chaim was fooled. They presented him the
Rabbi Kiva was fooled.
How was Rabbi Kiva? Was Bar Kochva?
Yeah.
No, no, so there they say very clearly he had potential. He never was fooled. He had potential. What? The Yerushalmi on Kachem. Yerushalmi, we learn this week. Someone who was a genius, he manufactured a Yerushalmi on Seder Kachem. Yeah, they actually, what's so funny is because I saw now on the Svarim chatter, now they reprinted. They reprint the forged Yerushalmi.
Wow.
You can go buy Gevaldi, go buy for a chassan. I already have a shas. Buy me the forged Yerushalmi shas.
Why would they do that?
Why what?
Why would they go
ask them? No. There are a lot of strange things that go on in this world.
Yeah.
A lot of they just.
The guy that forged Brett is a guy, a famous painter. He became a famous painter. He had done a lot of forgeries, like Rembrandts and things like that. They passed originally.
Yeah.
They found out it was painted, but his paintings were
so good.
They sell for millions of dollars.
They sell for exactly. So this person, he went and he reconstructed, he knew the language, and he published what he claimed was, there's no Yerushalmi, Talmud Yerushalmi on Seder Kodoshim. Okay, go into the Beis Medrash over here, they have the whole Yerushalmi, Ars Yerushalmi, there's no Seder Yerushalmi, either it was never written or it was lost. And this fellow, no, it was written and it was lost, and I found the manuscript. Here it is. And the truth was, he was such a genius. He was Hinu Kol Torah Kula. He was able to take sections of Shas and reconstruct a make believe, what would be a make believe.
Without computers.
Without computers. A genius of genius. Can you imagine how he applied himself to some Yiras Shemayim, what he could become in this person? And he went around peddling this to the Gedolei Yisrael.
He was a maskil, right?
I don't know the story. This went so far, many Gedolei Yisrael, they fell for it, including the Chavetz Chaim. Here's the Chiddush. Ad Kidei Kach. This is what it says in the books.
Right.
It says you're in this Yusham, Kodshim. Kodshim is Mesech Menachas. Mesech Menachas is the Sugis of tefillin. In Mesech Menachas is where all this, in the Bavli, is where all the Makoros of tefillin. And it said there that it was an Amoira who the whole thing was a forge. He wore basically what we call tefillin the Rabbeinu Tam. He wore the tefillin that have the parashos in the order of Rabbeinu Tam. The Chavetz Chaim read this, and the Chavetz Chaim was shaken up. That there is that in the Yerushalmi there was an Amoira who gave such legitimacy to the Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin to the point that that's what he wore. That's what it says in this forged Yerushalmi. So the Chafetz Chaim, because of that, started wearing B'Soif Yomov Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin. So the Chafetz Chaim was fooled Ad Kidei Kach. He didn't wear, this is clear, he never wore Rabbeinu Tam Tfilin. There's only, we pass him like Rashi Vizehu.
He wouldn't have worn it otherwise.
No, he would not have worn otherwise. It's clear as day. And when they brought him the Talmud Yerushalmi and he accepted it, and it said there, they have a whole nusach, what it said there about this Amoira, he wore that tefillin, which is the tefillin in essence of Rabbeinu Tam. So the Chavetz Chaim says, you see here that an Amoira gave it such, it wasn't just a theoretical discussion, that was not Lasukei Shmai Tzalib the Hilchasa. There was an Amoira who actually accepted it lahalacha and he wore it. Now, we don't pass him like that Amoira. There's Rav and Shmuel, Abaya. You know, there's kama halachas and ganchas. That there's a difference of opinion and we pass him like one. But in the Bavli, nowhere, b'chola Torah kula, is there ever an opinion that states lahalacha, this is the way that goes so far to say lahalacha how it should be regarding tefillin. Okay, there's a discussion, but it's never past the hilchasa, or you don't find the maisa with a certain amur actually doing so. There are different levels. Nowhere in the Bavli is there ever such the opinion of Rabbeinu, what we call Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, reach that level the hilchasa chavase demar, or this amur where he wore these tefillin. And in the Yerushalmi, it said that he did. So it shook up the Chafetz Chaim to add to the Kachalis, even though we paskin like Rashi, I'm only going to make a broch on Rashi, but he began to put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. And then when it was discovered that it was a forge, so the Chafetz Chaim said, no, once I already started, I'm not going to stop. But what do you see? You see, he was fooled. So the truth is, Rav Meir really hit the nail on the head, is mi godolanu, then Yitzchak Avinu. Who did Yitzchak give the brachas to? Who did he want to give it to? He wanted to give it to Esav, and he was fooled. He ended up giving it to Yaakov. I mean, that itself, that just the fact that he gave the brachas to the wrong person, he did something he did not know what he was doing. And the consequences, how else are you going to look at it like that? How could it be? He's the Gadol Hadar. Yitzchak was an Oyla Tamima. Mi Gadol Lanu Me Yitzchak Avinu. Like someone told me, I told you this with Chaim Kanievsky. People, they say, whatever Chaim Kanievsky says, he's the Urn Vitumim. But you know, there's a video where they brought up a person, I told you, they brought up a person from someone who has dark skin, And they said this person, he lives in Africa, and there are little colonies, little islands. He's a melech over his chevra. He has in his hands the koyach of chayim v'hamoves. If he gives the command, a person dies. So Chaim says, so he made a bracha. Shenosan nichvoidoi lebosavadam. He made a bracha b'shem umalkus. He said Hashem's name. And then it was discovered that this is a fraud. These guys who brought this guy to Rav Chaim Kanievsky, so it's on video that Rav Chaim Kanievsky made a bracha levatola. It's on video. Oh, Rav Chaim Kanievsky is the guy, he's the Urim Betumim. And he is, believe me, he is. We all sit there from Chaim Kanievsky. He is the Urim Betumim, the Urim Betumim. But you know, in this world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if the Chofetz Chaim was fooled, and Yitzchak was fooled, so Rav Chaim Kanievsky can't be fooled? Okay? So you have to be very, very careful with these things. People say, Rav Chaim said, that's right, but you know, I was there by Rav Chaim, and I saw things that really, really disturbed me very, very much. Of you know, things are very controlled. And you'll say, but it can't be that it was Yotz Mipekotshoi, something that's not. Okay, I have the ultimate hachno and respect, but you have to appreciate. Let's go further. I gave him, so it says over here in the Radak, it says here, so we have this idea, which we appreciate this idea of Nichas, there are many different types of fear. Pasuk Vav, Taras Emes Chayis Befiyu, Kemo Shohaya Taras Hashem Befiyu, Shohaya Moire Oiso Lorabim. So you have Kalman, it's good for you, there's a play on the words. It's a play on the words over here, the et name loy Moira, and the word Moira relates to Yoira, to teach, to instruct. Yeridea, Yeridea, so like another play on the words. Meeting the person, the Yari Shemayim becomes, gets Yoira Yoira. It's not the same word. Okay, but it's with a hey. Okay, Moira. Moira is with an aleph. And Yoira, to teach, is with a hey. But listen, we're not machbet on diktuk here. Don't chap us on diktuk. A hey and an aleph. What's the difference anyway, right?
I have another one.
Yeah, nachas. Ah! That's very good. I like that. That's really good. Okay, so don't chat me on TikTok here with the Aleph. You know, it's all the same. Fine. Torah Hashem b'fi, you show you Moira Oisol L'Rabim. He would teach L'Rabim. Ken Hoisol B'liboy, so was in his heart, Zeh Taras, Zehu Taras Emes. So over here he's coming to Taishu, it's a very deep Radak. The Radak over here is saying, one more time, Kemo Shohoisa Taras Hashem b'fi, you show you Moira Oisol L'Rabim, Ken Hoisol B'liboy, Zehu Taras Emes. An incredible chiddush what the Radak just said. This is an earth-shattering. Welcome back, Mr. Elman. I didn't even see you. Welcome back. You've been away for a long time. You went away?
Yes.
I heard you went away. Rabbi Eliezer told me, right? You went away. Welcome back.
But don't worry. I didn't tell anybody
where he went. You're really on that spaceship that went with... okay, fine. So he's saying, Rashi over here says, Radak over here says something that is off the charts. What is the meaning of MS? Correct diktuk. MS. MS is Piv V'Liboy Shavim. It's where it's true through and through. It's not just on the outside, not on the inside. Toicho Kibara. That's what it says. Look at that wide line. I gave him Moira. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. Where am I? I'm sorry. Pasuk Vav. Toras MS Chayisah B'fihu. Kimo Shachayisah Toras Hashem B'fihu. Just like it was in his peh, he issued the psak halacha. This is the halacha. Shoyu moiro isol rabim, kein hoisa belibo. That's what he really believed. He didn't go give a psak to be politically correct. He did not give a psak because they gave him enough money to somehow find a way that it should be mutter. This is mamish what he believed. I believe this deep down in my heart. I'm telling you what I believe. And all the money in the world is not going to sway my opinion. All the politics is not going to make a difference. That is what it means, Taras MS. Piv V'Liboy Shavim. Next. Shlohoye Echad B'Pev V'Echad B'Lev. Incredible. V'zechu, and that's what it means as well. V'avla nimsa b'svasav. He says, he's repeating himself the Radak. He's not really explaining over here. First he says, v'zeh tarasemes. Shalhoya echa pev yecha b'leh. V'zechu, it's the same thing, just repetition. Shoyna hadavah b'mila shoynais. Next. B'shalom uv'misho halachiti. B'shalom shoyu davek bi. He cleaved to me. La'asoyz chefsi my desire al derech yaseh shalom li. So shalom over here means that he cleaved to do what I want. Uvim Mishar, what's the difference between peace and Misha? Misha means Yashar. Shahalach b'darach b'nei adam b'derach yishara. In an upright man, uvishnehem, who eating both of these ways, he was with me. Ki be'elech chafatzi la'asayz chesed u'mishpat u'tzedaka ba'aretz. V'rabim heishem me'avon shahayu mayra hatara tamil l'kol, to all. He did not only teach the elite, only the A class. He taught the B class also. He did not discriminate. V'rabim shamuloi v'hashivam. He restored them avoin from sin. Next pasuk, Kisiv say, page 879. We'll finish up. Kisiv secham yishmudas. Kichein yo'us. This is correct. The word yo'us, the beautiful word. This is correct. The proper thing, like the word nachon in Hebrew today, it's very popular, the word nachon. Nachon. You always hear the Israelis saying nachon. Yo'us, the same idea, is correct. L'chol kohen, this is the proper thing. William is also beautiful. L'chol kohen. Kilo, yes, right. The piyut in Pesach. L'chol kohen, sheyishmu sifasav das hamitzvahs. They shall guard with their lips the das hamitzvahs. V'achukim l'hoyroisam b'sfasav, to teach a mitzvahsav li'Yisrael. K'mo sh'amah b'tayra. U'lohorois. Es bnei Yisrael is kol achukim asher dibar Hashem aleihem biyad Moshe v'nemar yoyru, to teach mishpatech liyakov v'saras kol Yisrael lefich, therefore yivakshu Yisrael tor b'mipiyu. He learns not like Rashi. He's learning that because these individuals, because they are committed to teach, that's why people are coming to ask them the question. Rashi seemed to say that they shall prepare themselves. This is their destiny. Their destiny is to answer the questions. Right. So therefore they should prepare themselves. Radak is saying a little bit different. Okay, let's finish up. Ki malach Hashem tzvaka yisu ki hu shliach hakel yisparach l'hoiroi stivay hakel yisrael. They are the agents. Okay, so notice the Radak is not it doesn't go anywhere near Rashi. He doesn't say the word malach means malachi hashores, that a minister b'lufnei hakadosh baruch hu b'mechitzasai. He doesn't do that. All he says, he takes the word malach and he dulls it. It means a messenger. It does not mean an angel. Most of us, when we hear the word malach, it means you're an angel. That's not what it really means. It means a messenger. And you can have a messenger. You send someone to the post office. You're my messenger. And you could have all different types of the malachi hashores are also called messengers. The malachi, the messengers that minister before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi took the word malach and he said that a kohen is literally an angel with wings. And goes lifnim mechitzasa. He put an aura of holiness upon this person. Radak doesn't do that. Radak says the kohen, he's a regular guy. He's a regular average Tom, Dick, and Harry. It's all he is. He's Hashem's messenger. Hashem gave him a job. He's Hashem's messenger. That's what he says over here. Doesn't go say that he's an angel. And then he quotes the Targum. Oh, you want to go down that path? All right. That path is not my. That's the path of the Targum. V'tirgim v'nisan arei mishamesh kodem Hashem tzvokesu. He ministers before Hashem. Okay, so let's review the psukim. Let's review the psukim according to the Radak, because Radak has taught us some very big chidushim. Starts over here is v'idatim kishlachti alechem es la mitzvah zois liyas brisi es levi amar Hashem tzvokes. Okay, I've sent you this mitzvah. Brisi hoisa ito, my covenant. Now, according to the Radak, this means my covenant was with him. What is the covenant? The covenant of Hachayim veHashalom. Now the word Shalom is going back, if I'm not mistaken, in Radak, is going back on the covenant. That is the word we have to slice and dice this pasuk according to the Radak as well. The word Shalom is go to be taken back to the bris. like it says the first, Hirni noisei lo yisbrisi shalom. So in that regard, the Radak is consistent with Rashi, and the Mitzudos, to take the word shalom and drag it over the page to the word brisi. Hirni noisei lo yisbrisi shalom. But when it says the word hachayim, he completely disagrees with Rashi. The word chayim is not a synopsis of loy ulezaroy acharav, that he completely disagrees. The word chayim means I gave him literally the blessing of arichas yomim. Pinchas lived a very, very long life. Whether he made it, whether you want to say that Pinchas ze Eliyahu and he lived to the time of Achav, or if you want to say that he did not live that long, but he lived at least to the time of Pelegesh Begiva, which was a very, very long time, it means literally, Berisi Hoysa Ito, Hachayim, I gave him Arichas Yomim, Vehashalom, that going back on the word Berisi, I gave him as Berisi Shalom. And then when it says Ve'ednim Lo Kama, that goes back on the beginning of the Pasuk. That's an I gave him long life, and I made with him a covenant of v'nasati le'brisi sholem. Why? Because Moira, because Pinchas or Eliyah, Pinchas was a yorei shamayim vayira eini. He nurtured within his neshama yira shamayim, and he feared me. He understood what a yira shamayim is, and he acted out on it. Umibneishmi nichasu. He was broken. He introduces to us a new definition of the word nichas. The year was a healthy form of yira shemayim where he broke himself. Taras emes chayse b'fiyu. He was sincere. He wasn't a phony. Achas, it wasn't achas b'pev yachas b'leiv. He was sincere. The Torah that was b'fiyu was also in his heart. That's called v'av le'nimsa b'sfasav. That's why it's called taras emes. And that's a repetition of what it means. The Avla Nimsa Misfasaf. B'shalom of Misha Halachiti. He made shalom. Here he learns it was shalom between bin Adam la Mokoim. Shalom, the Radak learns here, is bin Adam la Mokoim. Uva Mishar is Adam la Chaveroi. Man and Hashem, man. Halachiti. V'rabim Heishem Yavon. When he taught, gave a shir. He gave a shir to everyone. He did not give a shir only to the elite, only to the Aleph students. He gave a shir to everyone, and by doing so, he was able to bring back people who were nichshol in sin, he restored them. He sifsei choyn yishmeru das, they shall do this in the future. Their duty is to guard knowledge, to be melamei Torah. The lips of the Kohen, it is their duty in the future to devote themselves to teaching Torah. V'sora yivakshon biyu, and therefore when people say that they want to give, people want to take. If you want to give over words of knowledge, then the people are going to flock to him. Ki malach Hashem tzivakos hu, he's just a regular guy. He's a regular guy, but he's Hashem's agent. Hashem has appointed him to do his work in this world, but he's just a regular guy. Okay, that's the Radak Mishnah. Next week we'll do Mishnah the Malbim. We'll take a very short break. We're going to learn some Chumash in a few moments.
From Big Yard today, this is Steve.